It's a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. There's drama for the holidays in this hour, later on from Dragnet, but first, it's an episode of The Whistler called Christmas Bonus from December 25th, 1944, on CBS.
And I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales, many secrets hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Presently, I'll tell you of nameless terrors of which they dare not speak. Within the human character, the line between good and evil is a thin and waving one. And very often, the one small impulse for good will outweigh and nullify the bad. Such was the case with Michael Cobb. Mike wasn't bad, really. It happened while he was a kid, before he knew any better. He'd gotten into trouble, gone to prison, served a stretch. Now he's out, and he's learned his lesson. He's proving that. He's going straight, working hard at his job in the office of a large department store. He's married to a girl he loves, and he's happy.
Delicious. Delicious. Oh, nobody can cook a better breakfast than you, darling.
Thank you, sir. Now, Mike, don't bolt your coffee.
I gotta run. I'll be late.
Well, a couple of minutes won't make any difference.
Well, maybe not most days, but today is gonna be a big one. The last shopping day before Christmas, you know. Stores will be jammed. We'll be swamped with work until late tonight. Besides, I don't want to spoil my record. 6 months and I haven't been late to work once.
I know. It's fine. I'm sure the store appreciates it.
Yeah, Lane, I think they do, too. I really think they like me down there. You know, like my work and everything.
Oh, sure, Mike. How could they help liking you?
No, I mean, well, I'm beginning to feel like all that stuff is all forgotten. Almost like something that never happened.
It is. It is forgotten, Mike. Everything's different now.
Yeah, it is. Oh, this is going to be a lot different Christmas than the last one, isn't it?
Yes, Mike.
You were wonderful, Elaine. Coming to see me, sticking by me. Oh, darling, I promise you there'll never be another Christmas like that. Never.
I know there won't, Mike. From now on, they're all going to be really Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you bet. Oh, gosh, that reminds me. I haven't got your presents yet. I'll have to run out my lunch hour and find something.
Now, Mike, you're not going to go spending a lot of money on me. Oh, maybe next year we'll be more on our feet.
No, never you mind. I'll get you what I don please. Oh, my gosh. Now, I will be late if I don't run.
Hey, here's your hat.
Oh, thanks. Well, goodbye, darling. If I don't get home before midnight, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, it looks like a Merry Christmas for you at last, doesn't it, Mike? For the first time in your life, almost. A real Merry Christmas. You notice the smiles on people's faces as they walk down the street. You get sort of a kick out of the fancy red and green draped windows of the store. The holly smells good in the elevator. And you chuckle as you pass the toy department with a perspiring Santa Claus pulling on his red coat. Then into the office, everybody smiling. Yeah, you know what, Mike? Maybe you're getting that thing they call the Christmas spirit.
Well, morning, George. Merry Christmas.
Hi, Mike. Pretty cheerful this morning, aren't you?
Oh, why not? It's almost Christmas, the day of good cheer. Well, what's the matter with you, sourpuss?
Nuts, Humboldt.
Uh-oh, the boss on the rampage again, huh? Well, what is it this time?
You haven't heard?
No, what?
Somebody lifted another $1,000 out of the receipts last night.
What, again?
Yeah, it makes about 10 grand that's been missing in the last 6 months.
Well, no wonder Mr. Humboldt's upset.
The detectives are in there with him right now, and they've got old Gus, a night watchman, in for questioning. I suppose we'll all be on the carpet like the last time.
Oh, gee, that's not so good. $10,000. Hey, that's grand larceny.
Yeah, and the cops are probably getting pretty sore about not pinning it on somebody. Now, look, here comes old Gus, fresh from the Inquisition.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Homborg.
Gus. Hey, Gus.
Yeah, Mr. Osborne?
Are they playing questions and answers in there again, Gus?
There was you this time, there was you that time. The only time I got to sleep when they called me down here for this. What for would I want to steal money for? I got a wife. Fine wife. 4 kids. I steal money, I go to jail. They starve. What for would I steal?
Sure, Gus. But I know why you're so worked up about it.
Yeah?
You probably had to admit where you were last night between 12 and 1 o'clock.
How come you know that, where I was?
Go on. Everybody in the store knows that, Gus. It's a standing joke. Everybody knows you eat your lunch every morning between 12 and 1. They know you go up to the 13th floor and stretch out on one of those divans in the Louis the 15th room, the classiest in the joint.
Okay, so what's wrong with that? I got to eat. Why not in style?
Sure, only for that hour. Anybody could come in and move out the other 12 floors, and you'd never know it.
All right, so what? Maybe that is when somebody stole money. I do not know. I only know I did not steal. And this is the only time I got to sleep, when they have to go asking me questions.
What a character.
Hey, is that true about his breakfast from 12 to 1?
Sure. There's a night watchman for you.
That probably explains why they're so sure the thief is somebody inside the store. Somebody who knows about Gus and what time he won't be on this floor.
Yeah, could be. Uh-oh, that's Humboldt. Yes, Mr. Humboldt. Oh, yes. It's right away, sir. Just as I thought. It's my turn now. Well, if I start screaming, you'll know he's putting me on the rack.
Okay. I'll bring a branding iron to your rescue.
Don't laugh yet. You'll probably be next. If Humboldt really decides to catch a thief, he'll catch one by hook or crook.
Merry Christmas, Mike. Oh, now, what's the matter? You don't seem as happy as you were. Something happened to dampen the Christmas spirit, maybe? Something you can't describe, can't even put your finger on? Just a funny sinking feeling? Forget it. George Osborne has been in and out of Humboldt's office, and almost the whole day has gone by and nothing's happened. And everything seems to have calmed down. In fact, it's George's turn to have the Christmas spirit.
I really didn't expect it this year, but there it was in my pay envelope. Nice and crisp and green. With the best Christmas wishes of the J.C. Deaver's stores.
Oh, gee, that's swell, George.
Yeah, real honest-to-gosh Christmas bonus. I can sure use it.
Who couldn't?
I don't know whether you'll get one or not, Mike. You've only been here 6 months. Then maybe. By the way, why don't you mosey in and pick up your pay? It's almost 9 o'clock. We close in 5 minutes.
Well, I guess I'd better wait for Mr. Humboldt to call me. Golly, I thought we'd get paid earlier. Still haven't bought Elaine's present.
Ah, well, don't worry. Most of the smaller stores will still be open for a couple of hours.
Yeah, sure. But I thought I'd get her something she liked real well, a little store up on 10th Avenue. Oh, well, it'll be open till late.
Say, I wonder if they've found out anything about the 10 grand. Boy, they've really questioned everybody around, though.
They didn't question me. In fact, they've never questioned me about it. I don't quite understand that.
Oh, well, I don't know. I guess you got such an honest face or something.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Yes, Mr. Humboldt. Yes, sir, I'll send him right in. Well, maybe we spoke too soon. He wants to see you.
Oh?
On the other hand, maybe he just wants to hand you your Christmas bonus in person. After all, you are getting to be the fair-haired boy around here these days.
I better go in.
You might even be in line for a promotion. You can't tell.
Okay. You wanted to see me, Mr. Humboldt?
Yes. Oh, yes, come. Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Cobb, you've been with us 6 months now.
Yes, sir.
And I must admit that in that time you've demonstrated an admirable aptitude for the work.
Thanks, Mr. Humboldt.
Yes, in fact, there's been some discussion of raising your salary, promoting you. I even talked to Mr. Prentice, the manager, about it myself.
Well, thanks, Mr. Humboldt.
Yes, and that's why I regret very much to tell you this. I must inform you that we're forced to dispense with your services as of tonight.
Dispense? You mean I'm fired?
I'm afraid that's it. Yeah, your 2 weeks' pay is in this envelope.
Wait a minute. If I'm bed so good, why am I being fired?
I'm not at liberty to offer any explanations. I have my orders just the
same
as...
It's got something to do with this missing money, hasn't it?
I told you
that... This is your way of telling me you think I took it, isn't it?
Now, calm
down. That's it, isn't it, Mr. Humboldt? You've questioned everyone else in the department. With me, you figure questions are unnecessary, don't you?
Well, since you put it that way, Cobb, naturally we must take into consideration your past.
You knew about my prison record. I told you about it. What I've told you about if I was going to steal again?
I'm not accusing you of stealing again. I only say we can't afford to take chances. We simply find it advisable...
All right! I understand. I understand a lot of things now, Mr. Humboldt. Thanks. Thanks, Mr. Humboldt, for the Christmas bonus.
Hey, Mike, wait a minute. Well, did you get it? Did he give you a Christmas bonus?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a Christmas bonus, all right.
Hey, what's up? What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. I'll tell you about it later. I'm leaving now.
Oh, yeah, you're in a hurry. But wait, I almost forgot. With my bonus, I can pay you the 30 bucks I owe you.
Huh?
Here. 10, 20, 30. That ought to help with that present for your wife, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, George. Thanks.
Merry Christmas, Mike. Yeah. That premonition you had this morning was right, wasn't it? That funny, sinking feeling. Now you know, don't you, Mike? You knew it all the time, really. All this past 6 months, you've been kidding yourself. That dream bubble has burst. Merry Christmas, Mike. The crowds are still cheerful on the streets. The windows are still bright and gay, and the holly still spices the air. But you don't see or feel or smell. No, there's only the sensation of a chill wind cutting you to the bone as you wander the dark streets, not knowing or caring where you are.
Hello, Michael. Merry Christmas.
Huh? Oh, hello, Reverend. I didn't see you.
So I noticed. I was just getting home from my last-minute shopping. Won't you come in for a moment? A cup of tea, perhaps?
Why, no, I...
Oh, come on. I haven't seen you for a long time. That is, for a chat. Besides, it's chilly out. A cup of hot tea will warm you up. You look as if you could stand warming up, Michael. Come in.
No, I've got to get along.
Oh, come now. That lovely wife of yours won't miss you for a few more minutes.
I tell you, I've got to go.
Very well, Michael. I won't keep you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Reverend. I didn't mean to, you know...
Well, I understand, son. You're troubled. Is there anything I can do?
No, I'm all right.
Well, I know you too well, Michael. I've known you all my life. Now, I've helped you before, haven't I? Why?
I don't know. I don't know whether you did or not. All that stuff you told me about turning over a new leaf, forgetting the past, I believed it.
Oh, yes, of course.
Hal, maybe you should have told it to some other people instead of me. It just don't work, Reverend. It just don't work. All that stuff about being good and doing good.
It
don't pay you off.
It does, Michael. It does. You must believe that. Even a little good done brings a great reward.
Yeah, maybe to some people. Only maybe some of us are behind an eight ball we can't get around.
Michael, please come in. I feel I must talk to
Not you. Not tonight, Reverend. But all the talking I can stand. Now I'm going to do my own thinking. And I know what I'm going to do. You can bet your sweet life I know just what I'm going to do.
Yes, your mind is made up now, isn't it, Mike? Humboldt made it up for you, didn't he? You hate him, don't you, Mike? And all the smug people like him who've never done a stretch and stir. They're your enemies, aren't they, Mike? Whether you wanted them to be or not. And you're just one of the cell rats. Okay, if that's the way it is, that's the way you'll play it. What's that? Footsteps following you? Maybe if you stop by this lighted window. Yeah, you were right, Mike. They're following you, all right. Two of them. You saw them duck into that doorway when you stopped and turned around.
Tailing me. They got dicks tailing me. Why, sure, you dope. They wouldn't let you just walk out of there. They think you took the money. They're going to tail you, hound you, track you down. Okay, if they think I took the money, I'll give them reason to. This time, I will take it.
Christmas, Mike. A very merry Christmas, isn't it? 6 months of going straight and you've given it up. You're going back to the store and get your share of those days' receipts. Yes, it's all so simple, isn't it, Mike? It'll soon be 12 o'clock midnight, and old Gus will be up in the Louis 15th room on the 13th floor. The safe in Humboldt's office will be a cinch. You've seen it many times. And as for the two dicks tailing you now, it'll be duck soup to shake 'em. Duck soup. That's right. You're heading up 10th Avenue now. You can double back and... What's wrong, Mike? Why are you stopping? Could it be that tune, the brightly lighted window, the old man standing back there? Of course, now you remember. 10th Avenue. This is old Mr. Samuel's little store. This is it, where you're going to buy Elaine her Christmas present. And there it is. It's what you heard, the music box, sitting on the counter next to the open door, playing.
Good evening, Michael, and Merry Christmas.
Hiya, Mr. Samuels.
You came in just in time. I was just about to close up. I guess down at your big store, you've been closed for a long time. But here, well, we little fellows have to stay open to get all the business we can. What can I do for you?
Is this the music box that Elaine likes so well?
Yes, that is the one. She was very taken with it. How her eyes sparkled when she looked at it.
Yeah, there's a powder puffer. Something inside, isn't it?
That is right. And when you open it, it plays the little tune. So. Yes, she was saying how it was her favorite tune.
Okay. How much is it?
Well, it's usually priced at 75, but I'll give it to you and the young lady for 50.
$50?
Well, yes. You see, it's a genuine antique. And it's the best thing I have in this store.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's more than I figured out.
Oh, I'm sorry, too. I would have let you have it for less if I could, but 50 is the lowest.
Sure, sure. Well, okay, forget it.
I'm sorry. Come back again.
Now what's the matter, Mike? Why are you stopping? Could it be you can't make up your mind? Could it be you're thinking about the music box, about Elaine, about Christmas? Yes. This may be your last Christmas with her, you know. Your last chance to give her a decent present with clean money. Money you earn. It might be a nice gesture, eh, Mike? A little token of all that might have been.
Oh, Mr. Samuels, I'll take it. Wrap it up as a gift and I'll take it.
Merry Christmas, Mike. That's what's written across the package. It was going to be a symbol for a wonderful new life, wasn't it? And now it's an ironic farewell. Your last attempt at doing good, as Reverend Hewitt called it. Too bad it won't bring you that great reward he promised. It won't have a chance, because there are those two dicks still following you. And you, you're heading for J.C. Deaver's department store, office of Henry Humble, and the interior of his safe. It's almost 12 midnight, and you have to duck those guys.
30 quick. Girls, 30. The greatest little show in town, starring Tootsie Laverne and her 30 raving beauties. A new show just started. Only 40 cents. Ticket, mister?
Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah.
40 cents. Thank you, sir. A new show just started. Hurry, 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 ladies and gentlemen. It's the greatest little show.
You're doing great, Mike. Those dicks will follow you in, but you won't be there, will you? No. You're heading for that exit sign down at the side. Through the curtains, push out through the door, and there you are. In the alley. Free. Okay. Now, up to the street. Lose yourself in the crowd. Turn down Fifth toward the store. You're okay now. No need to look back. Or is there? They're there. You didn't shake them after all. They were wise to that trick, and they were waiting for you outside the theater. Yes, you should have known. Now what? Maybe you've got an idea. Yes, a good idea, a honey. Why not lead them to the store? Sure, that's where they expect you to go. But beat them there and hide, down in the freight dock, behind one of those big crates. They'll never find you in that mess. Then when they get tired looking, you'll be able to slip in and do the job. How's that? Brilliant. Yes, brilliant. Yes, here's the store. And there they are, a quarter of a block behind. When you hit the alley, you'll run for it. Make a dash back to the back. And you'll be so far ahead then, they won't know whether you got in or not. And you'll fool them entirely. You'll have them searching the whole store. Okay, here it is. Yeah, you made it. You left them way behind. Here's the freight dock.
Okay. Come on, coppers. Just try and find me in here.
Found it. Now we've left him. I told you he knew we were following him.
Sure, sure. But let's not waste time. He had plenty of time to get in. Probably with his employee's key.
Okay, okay. Get out your skeleton and let's go in after him.
Worked like a charm, didn't it, Mike? You're sitting here in your crate, comfortably waiting, while they search the entire store. If they don't hurry, you'll have Gus to worry about. Not that that's too much of a worry. But wait, hold it.
Well, that does it. Yeah. Hey, flash your light around. We could have ducked into one of these crates here.
Yeah, but we never find him that mess. He could play hide and seek with us there for days.
Yeah, you're right. I guess we might as well call it a day. It's a fine way to spend Christmas Eve anyway. Come on, let's go home.
Okay, I'm right beside you.
Well, Mike, Merry Christmas. This is better than you expected. They're leaving, actually going away, leaving the place to your tender mercies. You won't have to dodge them coming out. They aren't going to camp out in Humboldt's office. They're actually walking away, down the alley, and you're set.
Good Lord, the music box. Something's wrong. It's gone. I can't stop. I can't.
Hey, Joe, listen.
Yeah, I hear it. Come on, right over here.
I've got to stop it. I got it.
Okay, right here. In this crate.
Too late.
Okay, Cobb. We finally cornered you. Come on out.
No use hiding in there now, Cab. Come on. We want to talk to you.
Yeah, I know. I got the idea. Okay, you got me.
Yeah. Thanks for the music. Led us right to the dance floor.
Yeah, that's the great reward the minister was talking about. Great.
I don't get you.
No, you wouldn't. It's a private little joke on me.
Yeah? Well, that music maybe did you a big favor, Cobb.
Favor?
That's right. Maybe you'll see what I mean if you'll answer a few questions for us.
I don't see why I should.
You got nothing to be afraid of, kid, if you'll just answer a couple of questions straight.
I'll answer one. I didn't do it. I had nothing to do with it.
Okay. You had nothing to do with it. We didn't ask you that question. But answer this. You bought that music box at a store on 10th Avenue a while ago, didn't you?
You know I did. You saw me buy it.
And you paid for it with two 20s and a 10,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, part of that money was marked. It was money that had been stolen from Deaver's department store.
I tell you, it wasn't stolen. That was the dough I got in my pay envelope.
All of it? Didn't somebody else give you part of it?
No, I just earned the whole thing.
Didn't George Osborne give you part of it?
Osborne? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did.
Oh.
He paid me $30 he owed.
Okay. Now, this is very important. How'd Osborne pay you? In what denomination of bills?
Well, I... Yeah. Yeah, I remember. He gave me 3 tens.
Tens? You're sure?
Sure, I'm sure.
And the 20s came to you in your pay envelope, huh?
Yeah.
You'll swear to that in court?
Of course.
Okay. That does it. Thanks, Cobb.
Hey, wait. You mean... That's all you wanted me for?
It was enough. You just proved for us who stole that 10 grand from the store. And the way you were acting, we'd almost thought it was you. We hadn't have known better all the time.
Well, quite surprising, isn't it? The police didn't suspect Mike at all. You see, it was this way. Because of his record, the cops began to tail Mike in the very beginning, when the money first began to be missed. Twice they had him under observation at the very time the money was stolen, though they knew he didn't do it. But they kept watching him in the hope he would lead them to the real thief, and he did. Yes, because when things got hot, the thief finally tried to frame Mike by giving him some of the stolen money. Marked money this time. George Osborne? Oh, no. In fact, Osborne almost gummed things up by paying his debts. The detectives hadn't counted on that. That's why they had to be sure which bills Osborne gave Mike. The tens weren't marked. The 20s were. The 20s Mike got in his pay envelope from Humboldt. Yes, Henry Humboldt, the office manager. You see, things were getting too hot for him. The trail was getting too close. He knew the money was marked, and he knew the detectives were watching Mike. So he gave him some of the marked bills in his severance pay, trying to frame him. It couldn't have worked, of course, but Humboldt didn't know that, and neither did Mike. And Mike almost did something he'd have regretted all his life. He almost went back to a life of crime. Yes, if the music box hadn't have jammed and started playing just when it did, and the detectives had gone off, Mike's life would have gone down the skid. Because it did play when it did. Well, next week he'll be back at the store in a better job. Yes, and he got a Christmas bonus, too. They saw to that after Humboldt was arrested. And all because the music box played. Maybe that's why Mike said...
No, sir. That music box sits right there on the table where everybody can see it.
Darling, I really think it means as much to you as it does to me.
Oh, I guess maybe it does, Elaine. Just like the Reverend Hewitt says, a little good brings a great reward. Yeah. The rest of my life, that little gadget's gonna mean a Merry Christmas. Darling, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mike.
The Whistler, on Tune to Two Yesterday from Christmas Day 1944 on CBS. By the way, $10,000 was in hay in that year. In today's money, that would be around $140,000. You're listening to a Christmas edition of Tune to Two Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Dragnet, with a broadcast from July 28, 1949, taking place around Christmas. This first heard on NBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent. NBC brings you Dragnet. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to missing persons detail. You've never heard of Fountain Green, Utah. You've never heard of Juanita Lasky. Los Angeles is a big city, 452 square miles, 3,356,969 people. Your job, find her.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime investigated and solved by the men who unrelentingly stand watch on the security of your home, your family, and your life. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Monday, December 12th. It was cold in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of missing persons detail. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Ed Backstrand, chief of detectives. My name's Friday. I was on my way back from lunch, and it was 12:47 p.m. when I got to room 67A. Missing persons detail.
4G.
Federal Cafe. Good soup today.
What kind?
Corn chowder. It was real good. Place is jammed with Christmas shoppers. I had to wait.
Haven't even started my shopping yet. You?
I got to pick up something for my mother. Prices are high. I'll send a lot of cards.
Wait till you get married, Joe. Ever try to sell a Christmas card to a kid? They got to have something with wheels on it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Missing persons, Friday.
Fountain Green, Utah, calling the Los Angeles Police Department. Bureau of Missing Persons. My party will speak with anyone in charge.
This is Missing Persons, Sergeant Friday.
Just a moment, please. Mrs. Lasky, ready with your call to Los Angeles.
Hello?
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 Your party. Go ahead, please.
Operator.
Yes, madam.
Could you please give me the charges for this call? I'm using my neighbor's phone.
All right, madam. Please signal when your call is completed.
Oh, yes, yes. I'll do that.
Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Hello? Are you missing persons?
Yes, ma'am. Sergeant Friday.
This is Mrs. Hannah Lasky. I'm calling you from Fountain Green, Utah.
Yes, ma'am.
This is in regard to my daughter, Juanita Lasky. I haven't heard from her in well over a month, and I'm terribly worried.
Where was she staying in Los Angeles, Ms. Lasky?
At the Chelsea Hotel for Women. I have the address. 941 South Melrose Street. I can't understand it. Ever since Juanita's been away from home, she's written twice a week regularly.
When's the last time you heard from her?
The last letter I have is postmarked November 2nd. You know how it is, Sergeant. We have no relatives in Los Angeles, and she's trying to find work down there, living all alone. I just don't know what to do.
All right, Ms. Lasky, I'll take her description over the phone and make out a preliminary report. You'll have to send us a photograph of your daughter and a letter to the effect that you want us to trace her.
I'll get the letter and the snapshot off today.
Now, what's your daughter look like? What's her full name?
Juanita Marie Lasky.
L-A-S-K-E-Y.
No, E.
All right. Her age, weight, and height?
She was 26 last July 10th. 128 pounds and about my height.
Well, how tall are you, Ms. Lasky?
Oh, yes. 7 inches. She has auburn hair. It's quite long, and her eyes are green.
Okay, I got it. Any outstanding scars, birthmarks, anything that might help us identify her?
What's that?
I say any outstanding scars, birthmarks, anything that might help us identify her.
No. Juanita's a pretty girl. Nice disposition. Oh, that's about all, Sergeant.
Where can we contact you, Ms. Lasky?
122 Brigham Young Street, Fountain Green, Utah. When you find Juanita, I wish you'd have her call me right away. I'll pay for the call.
We'll do that, Ms. Lasky. What's your number up there?
This is a neighbor's phone, but they'll call me. It's Fountain Green 14R2.
Yeah.
You will try to find her as fast as you can.
We'll go to work on it.
Well, Juanita always comes home for the Christmas holidays. Do you think she's all right?
I wouldn't worry about it, Ms. Lasky. We'll call you just as soon as we get any kind of a lead on her.
Oh, thank you so much, Sergeant. And if there's any charge, I'll be glad to pay it.
No charge. If your daughter's in Los Angeles, I think we can find her.
Oh, if there's anything wrong, you'll let me know right away?
Yes, ma'am.
You're very kind. Goodbye.
Bye. What you got, Joe? Some girl owes her mother a letter. Come on, Ben. Just a routine call. We made the usual check, the morgue, all the hospitals, the county jail. And then we went through the repeater file. We found a Juanita Lasky in the files, but the age and description didn't match. We put that lead in the discard. After the usual paperwork, the next step was to check her last known residence, the Chelsea Hotel for Women.
Here it is, Joe. Chelsea Hotel.
Yeah. 55 rooms, all outside. You're home away from home. Now let's go in.
Chelsea Hotel. Thank you.
Here's a bell.
Yes, sir. May I help you?
We're looking for a Miss Juanita Lasky.
I'll ring her room. Whom shall I say is calling?
Is she in?
I believe so. I just saw her about an hour ago.
Okay, would you ring her room, please?
Yes, sir. And whom shall I say is calling?
My name's Friday.
All right, Mr. Friday. Just a moment. Do you wish to speak with her on the phone, or shall I have her come down?
Ask her to come down if she doesn't mind.
She doesn't seem to answer. That's funny. I'll ring again. No, sir, she doesn't seem to be in. Would you like to leave a message?
Didn't you say you saw her about an hour ago?
Yes, I did. She must have gone out again.
I wonder if we could check her room.
Oh, no. Gentlemen are not allowed above the main lobby.
I'm sorry, ma'am. We're from the police department. Missing persons. I'm Sergeant Friday. This is Sergeant Romero.
Oh. You men are from missing persons, did you say?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm sure Juanita's just stepped out for a moment, if you'd care to wait here in the lobby.
We haven't got much time, ma'am. We'd appreciate it if you'd show us her room.
Certainly. I'll get the pass key. That's 215. The elevator's right this way.
Thank you.
What seems to be the trouble? Some friend of Juanita's missing?
No, ma'am. Juanita.
Juanita? Well, I don't understand.
Her mother's a little worried about her.
Down this way. Here we are. No wonder she didn't hear the phone. She's in the shower.
Yes, ma'am. Would you rap on the bathroom door and tell her we'd like to talk to her as soon as she's through?
We'll wait out here in the hall.
Certainly. Juanita? Juanita, there are two gentlemen here to see you. Juanita? Juanita? I'm coming in. It's Miss Waters. Sergeant?
Yeah?
There's no one in the shower.
Well, it's running, isn't it?
Yes, and I see a robe and towel all laid out.
We better take a look around.
Turn off the shower, will you?
Yeah.
She must have left in a hurry.
Say, here's a fresh change of clothing on the bed.
Where's the closet, ma'am? This door?
Yes, that's right.
Closet full of clothes.
There's a couple of pieces of luggage in there.
This isn't like Juanita. Funny, isn't it?
You say you saw her about an hour ago.
Yes, I did.
Coming in or going out?
Oh, coming in, I thought.
You have room service here?
Yes, we have a coffee shop downstairs.
Uh-huh. The tray of food here on the table hasn't been touched. Coffee's still warm. Shut that radio off, will you, Ben?
Yeah.
Could she have gotten out of the building without you seeing her?
No, we don't have a rear entrance.
You sure you didn't see her go out the front door just before we got here?
No. No, I did not.
How about her mail? Has she been picking it up lately?
I think so. We can check that down at the desk.
Yeah, here's some letters. Postmark Utah. Return address. Mrs. H. Lasky. It's her mother.
Yeah, let me see that other one, Ben. This is one of your telephone message forms?
Let me see. Yes, that's right.
Says long-distance call operator 2, Fountain Green, Utah. According to this slip, this call was received at 1:25 today.
May I see that, Sergeant?
Certainly. There you are.
Yes, that's Edna's writing. Mrs. Tollefson took that call. She relieves me for lunch.
Well, do you know whether she returned this call?
Well, if she did, there'll be a record down at the desk.
Uh-huh. Now, you're positive that you saw Juanita Lasky an hour ago?
Yes, I'm sure. Just about an hour ago.
5'7", 128 pounds, green eyes, red hair.
Red hair? Oh, no. Juanita's a blonde.
Her mother told us that Juanita Lasky had red hair. Now, we weren't too surprised. A lot of women change the color of their hair. It would make identification a little more difficult, but not impossible. We checked down at the desk. Juanita Lasky had picked up all her mail, but she had not answered that long-distance phone call to Fountain Green. The next step was to question some of the people in the Chelsea Hotel who knew Juanita. We tried room 217.
Yeah, oh.
Gloria, these men are police officers. They want to ask you some questions.
Oh, yes. Is it all right for them to...
Yes, of course. This is an exception.
Won't you come in?
Thank you.
What's your name, miss?
Gloria Edgerton.
You know Juanita Lasky?
Yes, I know her. She has the room right next door to me.
Have you seen her today?
No, I haven't. I've been out doing my Christmas shopping. Why?
We were trying to locate her, Miss Edgerton.
Wasn't she in her room? I thought I heard her shower going.
Yes, you did, but she wasn't in there. When was the last time you saw her?
Last night at dinner. We always eat dinner together.
Did she say anything that might lead you to believe that she was going anywhere today?
No. She said she might do some Christmas shopping today, so I suggested she go with me, and she agreed. She said she let me know this morning.
Did she?
No, she didn't. I just assumed that maybe she was sleeping in, so I went on alone. Are you sure she hasn't just stepped out?
We don't know.
If you're just going down to the corner, it's a little unusual to leave the shower running, the radio on, and let your lunch get cold.
Did she do that?
How long has Juanita had blonde hair?
Well, ever since I've known her, about 6 months. We moved in here together. We work at the same place.
Where's that, Miss Edgerton?
At the Cadgett Building. We're elevator operators.
I see. Who's your immediate superior down there?
Darlene Kemp. She's cheap starter.
Mm-hmm. You got that, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
She have many dates?
No, not too many. Juanita likes to go steady.
Who was her steady boyfriend?
Paul Matthews. He works in the Cadgett Building, too. He's in the dental lab for Dr. Welty, sixth floor.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to add that might help us find her?
Well, are you sure she's lost?
The Plaggett Building is in the heart of downtown Los Angeles. It's a business and professional building. The cornerstone says erected 1924, and it stands 12 stories high. The main entrance is on Hill Street.
No, I know. That's all in the car, please.
Are you Darlene Kemp?
Yes. Can I help you?
I'm Sergeant Friday, Police Department. This is Sergeant Romero.
Yes, sir.
Juanita Lasky work for you?
Yes, she does. She's one of my operators.
When's the last time you saw her?
Anything wrong?
No, we're just trying to locate her.
Well, you just missed her by 45 minutes. All right, Sylvia. She was in to pick up a check.
Do you know where she cashes her check?
Most of the girls cash them down at the bank on the corner. There's only one around here over on 8th.
You say about 45 minutes ago?
Yes, that's right.
Thanks very much, Miss Kemp. Come on, Ben.
Going up. All right, Marion.
Yeah, the bank's not far from here.
It is kind of funny, isn't it?
What's that?
Her room, the shower, the radio, that lunch.
Sure pulled out in a hurry. What do you think?
I don't know what to figure. It's a new one on me.
She's alive. We know that.
Well, she was 45 minutes ago, anyway.
Oh. Hmm. Christmas is here. Santa Claus in his chimney.
Yeah.
No.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Yeah, that's all right. Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Here we are, Joe.
Guess we better check with the manager, huh? You the manager?
I'm the assistant manager. Can I help you?
Police department.
Yes, sir. I'd
like to find out if a check has been cashed here within the hour.
Yes, sir. And what's the party's name?
Lasky, Juanita, payroll check, Plaggett Building.
Yes, sir. I know Miss Lasky. If you'll step behind the counter, I'll get the check.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Here's the canceled check. I okayed it.
You sure it's the same girl?
blonde girl, elevator operator in the Claggett building.
Did she appear normal?
No, she didn't seem to be as friendly as she usually is.
Now, does she have an account here?
She did have a small savings account here, but she closed it out about a month ago.
I see.
Well, here's our card. If you should happen to see her again, give us a call.
I'll do that.
Thank you very much.
Entirely welcome. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We went back to the Claggett building. Ben called the Chelsea Hotel from the phone booth in the lobby of the building. Miss Waters, the manager, was keeping a sharp lookout, but Juanita Lasky had not been heard from. Paul Matthews worked in a dental lab for a Dr. Weldy. His office was number 637.
I'm Paul Matthews.
We're from Missing Persons Police Department. Sergeant Friday, I'm Sergeant Merrill.
Yes, sir.
Do you know Juanita Lasky?
Yes, sir.
When's the last time you saw her?
Saturday night. We went to a show. Is there something wrong?
We're trying to locate her. Do you see a lot of each other?
Yes, we do. I don't understand.
Miss Lasky disappeared from a hotel a couple hours ago. Thought maybe you might know where she is.
No, I don't. Today's her day off. Maybe she's out shopping. Has Juanita done anything wrong?
No, it's just that her mother hasn't heard from her for quite some time.
I can explain that. Juanita's an elevator operator here in the building. That's how I met her. They don't make much money, you know.
Yeah.
She was having a hard time making ends meet. She sends money home to her mother every month or so, and besides that, she's got to pay rent and buy clothes and eat. It's pretty rough.
She seemed despondent over all this?
No, I wouldn't say that, but she was kind of unhappy about not getting a raise.
Do you have any outside job?
No, sir, she didn't.
What kind of a girl is she?
What do you mean?
Cheerful, good-natured.
Oh, sure, fine girl. We get along swell. I still don't get it.
Well, maybe there's nothing to it, just a routine check.
I hope she's all right. When did all this come up?
A couple of hours ago. We might have to check back with you.
If I can help.
Thanks for the information.
Here's our card. If you hear from her, well, give us a ring.
You don't suppose anything's happened to her?
That's what we're trying to find out.
When we got back to Central Division, we had a full description of Juanita Lasky teletyped to all outlying stations in the metropolitan area of Los Angeles. We also put out an APB. We double-checked the repeater file and the wanderer file. We made out a full report on our findings to date. During the next 8 days, we located a missing husband for a wife in Memphis, Tennessee. We picked up a runaway boy missing from his home in Reno, Nevada, and a 79-year-old veteran of the Spanish-American War who left his home in Bakersfield, California because he didn't like his daughter-in-law's cooking. But Juanita Lasky was still a mystery. For 8 days, we checked and rechecked all her known friends and habits. We went back over the course a dozen times, but no trace. It was almost as if she had ceased to exist that day in the Chelsea Hotel. The letter and photograph from her mother had arrived, and we circulated it to cities all over the country. Her mother wrote that during the war, Juanita was a whack corporal. We put a tracer through to the War Department. That way, we'd have another photo and a full set of fingerprints.
Well, where do you want to start today?
I'll get it. Missing persons, Friday.
Joe, this is Spencer over in the morgue.
Yeah, Archie.
You still looking for that girl? What's her name? Ramona Lasky?
Juanita, yeah.
Just had one brought in. Looks like your girl to me.
The city morgue is located in the basement of the Hall of Justice on West Temple Street, across the street from the city hall. A lot of missing persons cases end right here. Archie Spencer met us at the door.
Hi, Joe. How's the wife been?
Oh, fine, Archie.
Over here, Joe. Cooler 23. That's her, isn't it?
When's she going to be posted?
As soon as your fingerprint man gets here.
Yeah.
That's Ramona Lasky, isn't it?
Juanita.
Juanita, I mean.
No, that's not her, Archie.
You sure?
Yeah.
Oh, I was almost positive.
Look at her hair, the roots.
Yeah.
They're blonde all the way down. They ought to be dark. Our girl's a bleached blonde.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Look at her right hand, index and middle fingers. Heavy nicotine stains. Our girl didn't smoke, Archie.
Well, guess I was wrong. That's not Ramona.
Juanita. Come on, Ben. That afternoon, we got another phone call from Fountain Green, Utah. Juanita Lasky's mother. We told her we hadn't found any trace of her daughter. It was a hard job. We had answered calls like this before, but maybe it was just the season of the year. Somehow, we felt that we had to find Juanita Lasky by Christmas. We covered every angle we could think of. We kept close watch on all incoming reports. We stayed in close contact with her friends and Miss Waters at the Chelsea Hotel. Regardless of the name on the incoming reports, we checked every set of fingerprints against those we had received on Juanita Lasky from the War Department. Still, no trace. December 23rd, we checked in for work at 8:30 a.m. Chief Ed Backstrand wanted to see us.
Gentlemen,
little something on the Lasky girl. Might help you.
What is it, Gavin?
Man by the name of Willard Harris owns a bar out in Pomona. Found a woman's handbag left in the bar. Driver's license made out to Juanita Lasky.
Why'd you think to call us?
He's got a television set in his bar. Saw the Lasky girl's picture on Sergeant Rosenquist's broadcast last night.
How about the girl?
Says he can't place her. You better hop out and pick up that purse.
We checked the personnel at the bus terminal, but none of them seemed to recognize Juanita Lasky's photograph. We checked the contents of her purse, but we found nothing unusual. Four $1 bills and some change and the normal things women carry. Since it was money in the bag, we felt sure that Juanita Lasky had lost the purse herself. That meant that she was alive 8 days ago, 2 days after she walked out of the Chelsea Hotel. The next morning, December 24th, we checked in for work at 8:30. Morning, Ben.
Hi, Joe. Here's the daily reports. You want to check them?
There's a mess of them. Let's get at them. You look through any of them yet?
No, not yet. I figured I'd wait for you.
All right, I'll take half, huh?
Got any shopping done?
No, you?
Some. Lunch hour, mostly.
Mm-hmm. Found some nice cards.
Be sure to send me one.
Yeah, I'll hand it to you in the morning.
Tell the tip, Friday, on the Lasky case.
Thanks, Holmes. Oh, Ben, listen to this.
Yeah?
Bureau of Criminal Investigation, Sacramento. Here's a kickback on our APB.
Yeah, what'd you say?
Reading your APB, number 43 on 12-1248. Our records disclose that Juanita Lasky applied for a position of civilian clerk at Marchfield, California, U.S. Army Air Base, using alias Gene Davis.
How about the fingerprint classification?
Yeah, let me find it. Yeah, FPC. Key 19, primary 32 over 32, inner over outer, final 15 over 17.
Prints check out. That's our girl, Joe.
The Sacramento report stated that Gene Davis had applied for government work at Marchfield, California. Well, a couple of things dropped into place. Her purse had been found in Pomona. That's right on the main highway from Los Angeles to Riverside. And the application for a job at the Army Air Base a few miles beyond Riverside. We put through a long-distance phone call, and they told us that Gene Davis was employed there as a civilian clerk but failed to show up for work that morning.
Just seems like we run fresh out of luck every trip, doesn't it?
We get so close, and then she's gone again.
What you think she's on the go for?
If I could figure that, I could find her. I'll get it. Missing persons, Friday. Yeah? We'll be right over. We didn't find her, but she's been found. Juanita Lasky just walked into the Chelsea Hotel. We went over to the Chelsea Hotel. Technically, our job was completed now. Juanita Lasky had been found. We went over to make out a routine report. The streets were pretty jammed with last-minute Christmas shoppers, so we walked the last block to the hotel.
What's your guess, Joe?
Let's ask her. Come on, let's go in.
That looks like her over by the desk there.
Yeah, pretty well memorized that face.
Sergeant, this is Juanita Lasky, Sergeant Friday and Sergeant Romero, Juanita.
How do you do, Miss Lasky?
How do you do? I'm sorry, I'm terribly sorry. Miss Waters told me.
Do you mind telling us? Where have you been?
Sergeant, I don't know. These last 12 days have been a complete loss to me. Miss Waters told me what happened. I went over to see my doctor. He said I had temporary amnesia. I have to have treatment.
Oh, I see. Well, we're glad you're okay. Kind of had us going there for a while.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can I use your phone, Miss Waters?
Oh, certainly. Help yourself.
Thank you.
Long distance?
I'd like to place a person-to-person call to Mrs. Hannah Lasky, Fountain Green, Utah. That number is 14R2.
Fountain Green, Utah, 14R2.
That's right.
Your name and number, please.
Joe Friday, and this is Hempstead, 8594.
Thank you. Rate operator. Fountain Green, Utah. Route and night person rate from Los Angeles.
TC Mount Pleasant, Salt Lake, night person 140.
Through Salt Lake.
Salt Lake.
Mount Pleasant.
Mount Pleasant.
Fountain Green.
Fountain Green.
Fountain Green, 14R2. Mrs. Hannah Lasky, Los Angeles, California, calling.
Thank you. Ringing operator.
Hello?
Mrs. Hannah Lasky, please. Los Angeles, California, calling.
Oh, yes. Hang on. I'll get her.
Waiting on your party, sir.
Thanks.
Getting through all right, Joe?
Yeah.
Lucky. Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Hello?
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 Hello, Ms. Lasky.
Yes?
Just a minute, Ms. Lasky. Juanita.
Yes?
You're wanted on the phone.
Oh, who is it?
Just say hello. She'll take it from there. Let's go, Ben.
Hello? Yes? Hello, Mother.
Come on, Ben.
Yes, I'm all right. Mother, it's so good to hear your voice.
See you tomorrow, Joe. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
The story you have just heard is true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
Upon further examination by competent medical authorities, Juanita Lasky was found to be suffering from periodic spells of amnesia. She was given treatment, and a complete cure was effected.
Dragnet, from the 28th of July, 1949 on NBC, bringing to a close this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Happy holidays.